What's up, what's up, what's up? Talk to Teach and Over Our Thoughts podcast. I'm here with special guest Tori Skrinsky, massage therapist, business owner, CEO. There's a couple other names I could use, but you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah. Tori Overall it is. I'm a digital creator, I'm a CEO, I'm a massage therapist, and I'm Miss Overall.
Sounds like a plan. So, it's going to be a pretty short podcast because some people like to be, you know, responsible and head to bed early. So, one of the first questions that I got for you is Christmas. What do you think about it?
It's a fabricated holiday.
Fabricated as in?
It's very commercialized. And I think that we lose the true meaning of Christmas. We don't celebrate the family. We're very centered on gifts. We guilt people into giving gifts. You know, I think we really lost the true meaning as Americans of what Christmas really is.
But isn't Christmas not even an American holiday?
No, it's not. No, technically it's a pagan holiday. It comes together with the Catholic Church and paganism. And Jesus' birthday wasn't even in the winter, it was in the spring.
So what do you think? Because I know for me, I'm not really with the buying a tree every year and burning in a bonfire because it's just the dumbest thing in the world to me. It's just the same thing. I'm cool with a plastic tree, just buy a setup, but I heard you had a dilemma when it came to if you're going to get a plastic tree or a real tree.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to tradition. I've always had a real tree, you know. It's the experience of, as a kid, cutting it down, going to the tree farm, having hot chocolate, smelling the fresh cut tree, you know, going home and setting it up. It was always an experience. It was a big thing. You know, just taking a plastic tree out the box and setting it up doesn't seem as magical, but it's more eco-friendly, probably better for our environment. However, tree farms, those trees are planted and meant to be cut down, and they're not going to be a forest one day or anything of the sort.
So are you a tree hugger?
In a sense, I do think that we need to preserve our natural resources and our environment. Yeah, a lot of people have called me a granola and a tree hugger and a hippie. So I wouldn't attest to I'm not. However, yes, I do cut my tree down for Christmas every year.
So, a lot of people go and get massages. Mm-hmm. And what's the, like, thought process of that? Of do you have to be in the right mind to have somebody touch your body? To have somebody, to be in a room alone, whether it's same gender or different gender, and have your body touched, per se, in a certain mannerism, a certain way, for a certain amount of time, and feel some sort of relief. Like, do you have to be in the right mindset for that? Or can you just say, you know what, I'm just going to get a massage? Because you say massage, and a lot of things come to mind. You know, somebody just massaging you in your house, to you seeing a massage on a TV show or a movie, like, to you as a person who is doing the act, what do you think goes through somebody's mind who, let's say, never had a massage before, saw it on a movie or TV show, but thought about getting one?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it depends on the person. And obviously, like, trauma and stuff has a lot to do with it. If you have past trauma where you didn't have a healthy relationship with touch, or you were, you know, not touched in a healthy manner in any sort of way, that can definitely affect how people react. And people react in all sorts of ways. You know, some, I have a couple clients who fall asleep in the first couple of minutes, where I have other clients that talk the whole time. And then I have some that just want to be in a quiet room with the music and enjoy the ambiance. You know, it varies from person to person, but if somebody's just getting a massage for the first time, I make sure that I'm really explicit and I tell them exactly what's going on. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is the body, the area of the body I plan to work on today. I use hot bamboo and gua sha. I also do energy work with acupressure, and I do qi ne song treatment. So, you know, I explain that, and I leave it open for them to be able to ask questions as well, so that my clients feel completely comfortable when they're in my room and on my table, and they know it is just about them.
Gotcha, gotcha. So, would you say that you always plan to do massage, or did you have another route?
Oh, no. No, massage is a stepping stone for me. It's a tool for me to get to where I want to go in life. I do love the medical field and body work, but my end goal is to be an acupuncturist.
So you want to stab people?
Essentially, yes, I do want to poke them with needles, not stab them. I'm not causing bodily harm. You know, I'm doing a lot of energy work, working with the body and facilitating their healing journey.
So you're stabbing people for pleasure?
For health and wellness.
Mm. Okay. What do you think about the act of maybe someone having a love language that's physical touch and them possibly receiving that love language from you unconsciously?
Yeah, that's completely probable and possible. As a practitioner, transference is the term that we call, where clients or a practitioner release those emotions upon others. So I'm always careful with that, and I keep, you know, my clients at a distance to a fact. I keep professionalism. There are clients that, you know, have become my friend and, you know, we're close, we talk about things, but you also always have to have that professional barrier, and approach things as a practitioner. And if that is their love language and how they're perceiving things, if things get escalated and they see things in a sexual or romantic level, me as a practitioner, I need to know how to set those boundaries with those individuals and say, hey man, this isn't going to happen, and refer them out.
You watch movies?
I do. Occasionally.
What's your genre?
I like comedy or action. Sometimes I like those rom-coms.
What is not your genre?
I hate scary movies.
Why?
I don't like filling my mind with things that I don't want to see. And I think everything that you put into your mind has an effect on your psyche and on you as a person. And it changes you. And seeing things that are terrifying and scary, I don't want to be walking around and scared of the dark or scared of what's behind the tree over there, or, you know, someone comes out of a corner and I scream and I think of that like scary doll or something. Like, I don't want to feel scared in my life.
Do you think if you saw a horror film as less of a jump scare and more of a plot, as in there's a end result and you watching it will get you to that end result to kind of understand what's going on, do you think that would lessen the horror part for you and maybe intrigue you into wanting to watch it?
Probably not. I just don't like the scare aspect of it. It just has never entertained me. And even as, you know, I've watched a couple scary movies and I just don't enjoy them. You know, they leave me terrified and, you know, curled up in my bed, just terrified for nights, weeks, whatever, what have you. I don't like nightmares.
So, if somebody sat you down and showed you a horror film, there would be no sort of reward or sort of catch that would be acceptable to you to sit down and watch it from start to finish, and again separate the horror and the jump scares and all that from the screenwriting of the movie.
Yeah, if you paid me $1 million, I'd watch one.
Gotcha. Okay. Last question I have. When it comes to conversations, do you feel that you can have disagreements, arguments, misunderstandings in a conversation? Or do you feel that each title is its own situation? So if you're having a conversation with somebody, an argument is not a conversation, it's an argument. A disagreement is not a conversation, it's just a disagreement. So once you get done having a conversation, once you get done having a conversation with somebody, if you're arguing, you're arguing. If you're having a disagreement, you have a disagreement. That's not subplots inside of a conversation. Like, we can't talk, have a conversation, just have disagreement within that. It's, we've left conversation, we're going to disagreement now. What's your thought process on that?
Well, no, I think a conversation is the whole basis to anything. You know, if you're not conversating, then you're silent, aren't you? I mean, you could definitely have disagreements and escalated arguments within a conversation.
So you don't think that if you're talking to Joe or Dick or Jane, and then all of a sudden they say something that you don't agree with, all of a sudden it leaves conversation status and hits to a disagreement?
No, because just because I disagree with you and stuff doesn't mean I, you know, necessarily have to even make that known in the conversation. You know, I try to keep neutral, especially like in the massage room. You know, a lot of people have different beliefs, and I can't always, you know, voice my opinion. Let's say, you know, someone doesn't like puppies, and I love puppies. You know, I'm not going to sit there and argue with them or have a disagreement with them over puppies when I'm trying to get them to relax in my massage room. I'm going to be like, yeah, puppies, you know, they pee a lot. Or,
so you're,
you know,
saying somebody would leave a massage because of a disagreement about a subject that they brought up?
Yeah, some people could. Clients have the right to end the massage at any point in time. And if they are very passionate about something and they get upset with me, then they definitely have the right to leave the room and leave the massage. And when, if that ever did happen, I've never had that happen, but I don't think that they would come back. You know, when people get that angry, I don't think they would come back, and that's not good business.
It's interesting because I'm like, you came for a massage, had a conversation didn't go as planned. So you just wasted whatever your rates are, 90, 100, 130 bucks, 150 bucks on this massage for this amount of time because of one little disagreement that you had. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, everybody's different. Everybody perceives things different, and some conversations Yeah, some conversations you just don't have with people, you know? And I'm pretty open, and I like hearing all sides to every story. So I like to figure out, you know, how people think about different things, and I don't generally take a side. I'm pretty neutral, and that's kind of goes with my Taoist belief, is to stay out of the inner workings and the conflicts of the world, and, you know, watch from afar and let men have their quarrels, because, you know, the way of the Tao is the way, and everything's pre-written.
So Tao, does that mean you are religious?
Taoist. Taoist, however you'd like to pronounce it.
So you believe in a deity?
I believe there's a... I believe that there is a higher power that surrounds all of us that goes by multiple names and has shown itself throughout the world in different religions, and we all call the same creator by different names.
So what would make your belief different than another belief? You're a human believing in something that has certain either rules and or regulations about how to function in that belief.
So I've studied a lot of different religions. My dad was a missionary growing up, and I kind of grew up a little confused. I grew up in the Christian church, and then I decided to study other religions. I studied Orthodox Judaism, I've studied Jehovah's Witness, I've studied Muslim, I have studied Buddhism, and I've found that all the religions that I've studied, which I've studied a lot, not all, have had the same kind of rules with different prophets, basically, is what I've found. They all believe in kindness, showing love, peace. They have the basic rules on how to treat individuals. But they all just put their own little twist on it. And I believe in those rules. But I don't believe in the segregation and dividing people based on what they think and who they call God, or what name they call this greater power. I think that the division that we've instilled in religion is not beneficial, and it's not how religion should be. It was to bring people together, and it's not to be separating everybody, which is what it has done in the past. And we've, a lot of wars have been based off of religion, and I think it's that's not the intent of the Creator.
So I know I said last question, but this will be the last one. Do you think love is shown, or do you think love is spoken, and why?
I think it's shown and spoken. I mean, actions, you know, speak louder than words, so they say it. And
if you had to choose one, shown or spoken?
You can't choose one.
Yeah, I've
body language is 70% of communication.
If someone tells you, if you tell me you love me, mm-hmm. that's enough for me. You don't have to show. You don't have to buy material items. You don't have to get physical with me. If you just tell me you love me, that's enough. And yes, someone else say, if you just show me by your actions and what you do, that's enough for me. If you had to choose one of those two to receive love, what do you think would mean more to you? Someone telling you they love you, or someone showing you they love you?
Well, that's a tough one. I like being shown, but I also like the communication and connecting with that individual on a personal and a spiritual level, and being able to have in-depth conversations. And just saying I love you isn't just speaking love. It's all the conversations you have, and the disagreements and the agreements and the decisions you make together, and the relationship you build. I definitely think that Talking is a major thing for me. So yeah, I would say talking over the physical aspect of it would probably be where I would connect with someone.
So someone telling you they love you would be more than someone showing you they love you.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I would prefer both. I mean, if I have to choose one, having that intellectual piece rather than the physical part is a lot more important to me. I can live without the physical part. But having someone to feed your mind and your intellect, I need that in my relationships.
Gotcha. Well, it's been another episode of Talks with TJ and Over Our Thoughts podcast. And I want to thank Tori for coming out and sharing some insight with us, and we'll be back later. Y'all stay up, stay lit, stay motivated, keep pushing, and we'll see you guys next time.